Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Toll, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for 20th Century World. Hey, we got a great show planned for today. We're going to be talking love and relationships with my special guest in the studio. She's here right now. Say hello to Jennifer Gaynor Yaker.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Jen. I'm so psyched she's here. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks because I think she's going to help fix me now. Maybe. I don't know. But let me first say thanks to my dear friend Troy. Troy Titus Adams was in the studio yesterday, guest hosting, co-hosting. That was a lot of fun. Check it out. Troy and I talked Movie Monday. We reviewed Liam Neeson's film, A Walk Among the Tombstones. You guys can go check that out. Plus, I did a throwback to Derek Jeter. You know, I love Derek Jeter, one of my favorite baseball players of all time. So that's more of a tribute episode as well. And today, as you know, today's the first day of fall, autumn, right? Last night we had it at, you know, close to 11 o'clock New York time. So today's our first full day. Break out those boots, those leather jackets. I mean, I sure did. What about you, Jen?
Yeah, as soon as it drops below 70, I'm pretty much busting out the parka.
70, so you're an LA gal.
I am an LA gal.
Oh, I got that. Yeah, so hey, for everybody out there, enjoy the fall, best time of the year as we cruise right into the holiday season. And speaking of holidays, right, you got to start working out. If you're not working out already, don't be putting on those holiday pounds, right, Jen? I'm sure you're telling that to your clients.
I do. Well, nicely, of course.
Nicely. Well, maybe I'm not as nice. But hey, get into the gym, start walking. You got a couple months before, again, you're going to start going to the parties. Remember, got to get your shit together when it comes to staying fit. It's about the heart. We talked about that yesterday. So, hey, really enjoy the fall, but do it now. Start walking before it gets too cold, especially folks on the East Coast. It does get cold out there. Today is also, as you know, Tuesday, so it's Top 10 Tuesdays. So what are we talking about today? We're going to check this out. I mean, I'm not much of a nightlife person. Are you, Jen, nightlife?
Well, I'm married now, so it's a different kind of nightlife.
Different kind of. All right. Well, I'm not married, and I'm not much of a partier at night, but we're going to be going over, check this out, the top 10 nightlife cities in the world. Yeah, I read an article this morning on CNN. Pretty cool article. We'll talk about that. And, you know, why is it that you might want to go check out these cities, especially if you're a partier? Now, you know how we usually go around the globe with the sometimes we do strange but true. We do some top stories. Now, today, if you pick up the news, right, U.S. and its Arab partners bombs a new al-Qaeda group in Syria, as well as hitting ISIS, and China sentencing a scholar to life in prison for separatism, and you got a white tiger mauling a visitor to death at a zoo in India. Well, you know, you guys could go check all that out, right? Jen, check it out. I mean, every time you pick up the news, it's all sorts of bad stuff. Well,
There is a lot of negativity out there.
Well, we're not going to go to the negativity, right? We're going to just talk. I like this story. This is one story that we're going to talk about. Kind of struck me a little bit. And then we're going to give the Get Your Shit Together award because I really want to spend some time. We're going to do the top 10, but I really want to get to Jen because this is going to be a lot of fun. Dating, love, all that fun stuff. So check it out. I'm calling this Tats for All Time. Tats, what are we talking about? Tattoos. Tattoos have never been more popular, right? The experts say part of the appeal lies in the rich variety of body art traditions of the past. No kidding. I mean, I read a story about a Peruvian man. The oldest tattoo that they found was 8,000 years ago. So 8,000 years ago, this guy was all tatted up. They actually said he was probably not did it voluntarily, you know. So according to studies, check it out, up to 38% of all Americans and one-fifth of all British, that's 20%, adults have some type of body art. You have body art there, Jen?
I don't. I used to have a nose ring, but no tats.
I had a tongue ring once.
You did?
I did. I think it was.
What happened to it?
What happened to it? You know, I'll tell you what happened to it. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. I thought it'd be a cool thing to do. I think it was for my 49th birthday.
49?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Some gal took me over there and she was getting a belly button ring. And I'm like, let me try that. But, you know, I'll tell you how it happened. I kind of liked it. You know, well, first of all, your tongue blows up big time. And it's very painful. Your tongue's a muscle. So it's like, ugh, when you pierce that thing. But after, I think it was like 2 weeks later, I was working, I was doing some background work. And one of the little balls that screws on the bottom fell out. And so I had to take it out, but I couldn't get it back in because then the tongue kind of, so it was like, it fell out. So after it fell out, I'm like, you know, and then they said, don't wait more than 3 days. Well, I went back on the third day and the guy's like, well, I can get it in, but it's kind of redoing it. I'm like, it's kind of rough.
So you were just kind of over it after
that? I think I was over it. I liked it for a short time. I was over it, but I don't have any tats either. Almost. I spent
I'm feeling kind of left out now. 38%.
38%. And, you know, you live in Venice, right?
I do live in Venice.
You live in Venice. Well, I used to practice yoga over there, you know, exhale, center for sacred, you know, that sacred movement over there. And I met a guy. He was all tatted up. He had some tribal tattoos. I remember him telling me specifically, because at that time, I was going to go get a tat. And this was maybe 5 years ago. And he's like, dude, whatever you do, you got to get a big one. You can't get a little one. You got to go big or your whole back. And then I got thinking, well, I'm not ready for that. But he goes, no, if you go small, then you're going to want it bigger. And then you're going to do something around it. Then you're going to go big. It's like, I'm telling you, when you're ready, go big. I'm like, all right, when I'm ready. Well, today, I'm not ready. Today, of course, it's a lot different than the past, right? And check this out. This is a professor, Professor Nicholas Thomas. He's the director of the Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology at Cambridge University. That's a pretty serious position. He said that the tattoo has made a powerful comeback. No kidding. I mean, how many shows are on the reality television doing tattoos, right? No doubt. And here's quoting this gentleman, Mr. Nicholas Thomas, says, there has been an extraordinary epochal change in the last 25 years. I like that, epochal. That's a pretty big word. He says, we now see our bodies as something we have a responsibility to design and make, okay? And he says, you know, you identify this design, it's not inherited. So he's like, you could basically use your body as like a white canvas. So it's like, forget about what you inherited, but this tattoo or any tattoo is a vehicle for particular identification, right? Well, let's talk about this because California, there was a surge in popularity for tattooism, starting in the California counterculture, right? Counterculture, well, that's a mouthful, seen in the 60s and the 70s. Now, 20th century tats associated, we know this, right? When I was growing up, tattoos were associated with criminals, sailors, military people. But, you know, most recently you returned the tats are going to the sort of like the tribal tattoos, right? Celtic designs. I mean, that's what I was attracted to. This guy I met, he had a lot of cool, you know, yoga dude, had a lot of cool kind of tribal tats. And now if you go down the strip, right, at the Venice Beach, you get the hennas? You ever do the henna?
I haven't even done a henna.
You haven't done
I'm
it? I've done
so
hennas.
Left out right now.
Wow. Jen, you're like pure here. Now, I've done hennas on my back. You know, I played with it. They don't last very long.
I used to, you know, draw my own in elementary school. Does that count?
With ink? Did you use a pen or did you use a crayon? You
no,
did?
No, I used ink and I made my little tattoos on
You're
my
inked
arm.
Up then.
All right.
Okay. You know, in the past, they were social markers, right? You know, you might have been part of a tribe, but the globalization, there's no doubt, is exposing everyone to a whole range of traditions. A lot of these traditions from the past, like the Samoans. I mean, I remember over when I lived in Honolulu, when we're going to talk about Hawaii again.
My favorite place.
You know, the Samoans are heavily tattooed, and maybe a lot of people are kind of emulating different, different traditions. But here's what I do know. I mean, I wasn't Christianity was in my upbringing. But it wasn't like over the top. But there's no doubt that the decline of Christianity in the West also had an impact on the rise of tats. And why is that? It's because some streams of Christianity have condemned body art due to the perceived sanctity of the body. Ooh, what does this mean? I like that. Perceived sanctity of the body. But it's far from universal, no doubt. But either way, here's what the research shows. And I'm going to put my two cents in here, that tattoos profoundly alter the way in which we're perceived. Okay? You believe that? Like when you see someone who's all tat or maybe a facial tattoo or a neck tattoo, I mean, do you kind of have a perception?
Are you asking me personally?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
It's gotten, you know, since I live in Venice, I have a lot of friends that have tattoos now. So
all your friends have tutus if you live in Venice.
Tutus. They'll have tutus.
Yeah, they have
ballerinas.
Tutus and tattoos.
It's not a negative perception, but it does. I do think that people, when you look at somebody with a tattoo, I think there is some perceptions that are created about that. They don't necessarily have to be negative, but it does certainly say You know, like for me, I think, okay, this person is maybe a little more creative, has a freer lifestyle. They don't always play by the rules, by the norm, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, I actually like those qualities in people. So
I see that you, there's no doubt, perceptions, no doubt we have perceptions. Look, check this out. Adults with tattoos have been shown to be, quote, more sexually active, to engage in riskier behavior, and to have stronger self-esteem and body comp and body confidence. I like that. I mean, that I definitely see, right? You're talking more second. I mean, that's a perception, right? This sharply declined in women. Check this out. 3 weeks after they got the tattoo, they said that these qualities, the self-esteem, the body confidence, the behavior, the perception, was declined sharply. Kind of interesting. So what happens with women after they get a tattoo? After 3 weeks, they're like, oh, I'm done with it. I was done with the henna, and good thing it went away.
You know, that's why I never got one, because I know that my fashion taste changed every, you know, five right. minutes, let alone 5 years. So I knew a tattoo was just too permanent, because next year, you know, I wanted something different. So.
And they fade. And my uncle had a tattoo. My uncle, rest in peace, Uncle Benny, he had a tat, and I remember it was a panther. Then it faded, and then he got something, a flower, because then they added colors, because back then it was like the green and the black ink, I guess, and then kind of kept, then it was this big mush, you know, this big kind of, I don't know, looked like the size of a grapefruit on his shoulder that was like black, you know, I don't know. There's no doubt the technology.
So it was like a grapefruit panther?
Yeah, it was a grapefruit panther. I think I like that, but I just remember he kept evolving this thing, and I don't know if it was going the right direction, but no doubt that tats give you the first impression. Expect more sexual partners, they say, that are less inhibited and thrill seekers. Well, let me throw my 2 cents into here because you can read about this. Anybody want to check out my memoir, Simply Between Millions from Wall Street to Hollywood? There's a chapter in there towards the end about this goth gal that I dated, Jen. I don't know if this is going to fit well into your work, but I had a relationship. Never in a million years would you kind of, or me, see me sort of with this. I mean, I'm talking from the neck down. She was all tatted up. I mean, the hair and the piercings. I mean, she was totally, but she was gorgeous. And she was a yoga babe, no doubt. I mean, I met, and I was like, I don't know, something. And we had a really fun romance with her, but I don't know. And that was the first time I was really attracted to the art. And I don't know, but I'll tell you what, she was wild, no doubt.
Well, you had a good time, right?
I had a good time, but she fits this description here. We're talking about the perceived. So in my personal experience.
well, did it, can I ask you, do you mind, did it change your perception of her that she had tattoos?
Well, I was kind of hoping she was wild when I, you know.
Exactly.
And it worked because well, I was into, you know, the wild, you know, it was like we had a great, sex was awesome. Oh my God, it was awesome with her. So that didn't last too long, though. You can read about that in the book. But it's all said and done. When it's all said and done, body art is here to stay, no doubt. And there's a quote from Johnny Depp, one of my favorite actors of all times. What a cool guy he is. He said, "My body is my journal, and my tattoos are my story." There you go, peeps. There's your get your story down in your tats. I mean, hey, I don't know how many tattoos Johnny Depp has, but if he's got them, right? Should run out and get one.
I think you just spurred a whole new generation of tattoos on this show today.
Right, you're right. I hope so. I hope those tattoo parlors are calling me. I got to get someone from one of these shows on here, I think.
Right,
now that we
get
did
some
this.
Endorsements now.
Well, that's our one story for today. I really wanted to put that one out there. Let's move to the Get Your Shit Together Award. Because I was talking to Jen about this before the show. I said, you know, I did this podcast, 30 episodes, Get Your Shit Together. And we're going to be talking about how people can, with Jen, get their shit together in their love life in a good way. Remember, everything is about positivity because, hey, sometimes you just don't have your shit together and you got to get it together. And it's a matter of bringing in the right professionals. I believe that. Whether it's you don't know what to do in the gym, as Troy said yesterday, bring in a personal trainer. You don't know what to do. You're struggling to find the right person. You don't feel good about yourself. That's what Jen's going to talk to you about. No doubt this woman can help you. So we'll talk about that. But first, let's get to this. Get your shit together. We're going back to Hawaii today. Another kooky story relating to someone boozing. All right. We talk about alcohol. We do that on this show too. But here we go. Here's the story. Rustin Pajimola Ai. I don't know. I guess I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, or if I am, whatever. 22-year-old Maui man. Check it out. I watched the video this morning. Was charged with driving under the influence after he, I love when they say allegedly, I mean, the guy, he didn't allegedly do anything. He drove his car through a crowd of people near the starting line at the Maui Marathon early Sunday morning. I mean, Jen, you should see this jackass. He's driving a white Acura. He's got like a red cone trapped under his car. He turns. He doesn't even stop at the corner. And there's like thousands of people standing there ready to start. And he turns right into the crowd, swerving through the runners. This jackass hits a 53-year-old bystander, drags him 30 feet. Good thing the guy had minor injuries. He wasn't too bad there. There was a 15-year-old girl. She was like frightened. Her heart was racing. Says, oh, there's commotion. Some guy, Dan Skuzin, ran over to the passenger side of the car. The window was open, thank God. He reaches in, pulls the emergency brake. And then this jackass, Rustin, continues to drive. He tries to keep driving.
My goodness.
Okay? So he reached in, he turned off the ignition, pulled out the keys. Okay, the guy reeked of alcohol. No kidding. I mean, here we go. Another story, some idiot. And guess what? Bail, $1,200.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense to me. But, you know, Mr. Rustin over there, you get the Get Your Shit Together award for today because, hey, first of all, anybody who's a new driver, I talk about this, forget about drinking and driving, okay? Yeah, hey, I haven't had a drink in almost 7 years, but I used to drink and drive like an idiot, of course. You do stupid things. It's only going to be so much time before something bad happens, and it's going to be really, really horrible if you hurt someone else. So don't
do
it. 22-year-old guy getting in a car. Doesn't matter what the car is. The car's not going to drive for you. So, hey, get your shit together. Don't drink and drive. There you go. Boom.
Well said, Rich.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah,
something's well said here. Now, let's move on to our theme of the day. This is the world's top 10 best nightlife cities. Now, it's kind of interesting because I've been to most of these cities, not all of them. And this was an article written by a guy named Mark Manson. I first thought, oh, my, I wonder if he's related to the wacko. You know, but anyway, nah, I'm sure he's not. This was on CNN. This guy's from Austin, Texas. He went to Boston University. So, Mark, if you're out there, check it out. He said he wants to inspire people to live better and more emotional awareness in their lives, which, hey, we'll talk about that with you. That's why I kind of like this, because I saw, hey, he wants to live better lives, more emotionally aware, which is what you're going to be talking about, right? Because the first thing is getting the awareness before you can go out there and make it happen. But we'll talk about that. But this guy, he's kind of views himself, he says, like as an international nightlife connoisseur. All right. Well, we'll find out about that. I saw a picture of this guy. He seems like a young guy or 30-year-old guy. Who knows? Been around the world a few times, he says. And he thinks he's the most qualified guy to throw an absurd list like this together, to quote him. Well, I don't know how absurd it is, but here's what it is. He judged each city because I'm not going to be able to judge these nightlife cities. I mean, Miami, New York, L.A. Yeah, I got a couple of them under my belt. But this guy judged it based on four criteria, and he gives each criteria a count of 1 to 10. So you get a total score of 40, okay? So let's go through. What are the criteria? First one, hours. How late each night and how many nights per week is the party good? Good's a relative thing, but I guess it's what he's calling good. Number two, it's the people, i.e., is it a good crowd, right? Are they friendly, cosmopolitan, good-looking? Again, this is this guy's opinion. Number three, music, right? And nowadays, I mean, in the clubs, DJs are awesome. So he judges it on the quality and the variety offered in each city. Sure, there's differences. But if you got Tiesto there, you know, you got some awesome music. So, and number four is experience, meaning how likely are you to have an experience that you'll be telling your best friend decades from now? So, here we go. Here's this guy's opinion. And now, just to throw this out, honorable mention. These didn't make it. Hong Kong, been there. Sydney, Australia. Miami, partied there. I'm surprised Miami didn't make it. Stockholm, Tokyo, and Tel Aviv. So they get the honorable mention, just to throw those out. They're not on the list. But let's start with number 10. We'll go through these pretty quick. Bangkok. Got a 27 out of 40. He says it's developed a vibrant and classy side to the city that's never been more cosmopolitan. He said the best place to go is a place called RCA, Suk Humvit, Soi 2, or the upscale Coup d'Etat. There's three places for you. So if you go to Bangkok, I don't know, this is what this guy's saying, go check it out. Yeah, you've been to Bangkok?
I have not.
No, me neither. I haven't been to number 9 either, Buenos Aires. Yeah, he gave it a 29 out of 40. Paris of the South, he's saying. It's got a new world spin, and I don't know. He's like, you got to check it out. He goes, there's some good bars. It's called Ricoletta. And you got to work your way up to the taverns of Palermo, Hollywood. So I guess he's giving you two areas. Palermo, Hollywood, working your way up. Yeah, who knows? But there you go. If you go to Buenos Aires, go check it out. Number 8 was Las Vegas. No kidding. Mm. I mean, yeah, everybody knows Sin City. It's a staple, of course. Got to put that on there. Yeah, I've been to a couple of these. Tao, Marquee. His favorite's Excess in the Encore. I've been there, too. So how about that? I've been to Vegas. Check out these clubs. They're pretty good clubs. He gave it 31 out of 40. Yeah, and now number 7, 6, and 5, they're tied. But he ranked them. Montreal, been there. They're giving these 32 out of 40. He said, undiscovered gem of North America. Beautiful, friendly people. And, of course, you got the summer festivals. There's no doubt. Montreal's a pretty cool place. You've been there?
I have not.
Whoa, Jen, what's cooking?
I've been to Europe.
You've been to Europe? Well, we got Barcelona's next. Maybe.
Okay, I have been there.
Woo, okay, I have not been there. So, but the best place to go in Montreal is calling it Wood 35. So there's a club called Wood 35. Number 6 is Barcelona, same score, 32. Said, first rule, don't stay. He said, the first rule of thumb for Barcelona, don't stay on Las Ramblas. Second rule of thumb, don't stay on Las Ramblas.
Las Ramblas. I've been there.
Yeah, he said the clubs don't get going until well past 1 a.m. Like, ugh. And he said this
place.
That's
true.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, because they're sleeping and they're taking their siestas in the middle of the day.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Then they get up and party. Eat and party. There's a place called Row 14, which he says doesn't get going until 6 a.m. Well, guess what? Forget about that. I'm at the gym. What the hell? If you're in a bar boozing, dancing at 6 a.m., get your ass to the gym. Well, Miami, I used to do that. I used to be walking home at 6 a.m. from somebody's apartment. I don't even remember her name and, like, figuring out where the hell am I.
Do they get a get your shit together award if they're out at 6?
I think you got to get your shit. If you're still partying at 6, unless you're a raver, and then there's ravers, I don't know. They're not really drinking much, right? They're doing the Motleys or whatever the hell they do. Anyway, so number 5, which is also tied, is London. Check it out. You know, I've been to London, but I never explored the nightlife in London. I had no idea. London's ranked 5. It's the epicenter. He calls it the epicenter of corner pubs, which it is, and some of the ritziest and most prestigious nightclubs in the world. Check it out. A place called China White. And this is kind of cool. I like what he said. He goes, tell them you know a promoter by the name of Becker. Even if you don't, you just might get in. I like that.
That's awesome.
That's like an LA thing, right? Totally. Promoters. Yeah, like, the promoter.
I'm on the list.
I'm on the list, yeah. And if you're not with a hot babe, if I'm not going with you, I'm not getting in. Okay? Yeah, forget about LA. I've been to so many, but I'm telling you, that's what they do. All the guys are standing out there. They're letting all the women in. They let 2-3 guys in or slipping them 100. Yeah, I know the program. Number 4 is São Paulo, Brazil. And I even consulted a good buddy of mine. Give a shout out to Kevin. Is Brazilian, from Brazil, and he confirmed this. It's the dark horse on the list, he says, because it's the cultural hub of Brazil, not Rio de Janeiro. And I asked my buddy, and he's like, hey, no doubt. He goes, Rio de Janeiro, he goes, it's a party town. He goes, nobody works. He goes, here's the joke. He said, the rest of Brazil works so the people of Rio can party.
That's awesome.
He said, Rio's like a New Orleans. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. And the place to go there, the best place, is called The Edge. He said on Thursdays after 1 a.m. There we go again. Don't go out until midnight. You know, I used to do that. When I was younger, we used to cruise down Atlantic City. Here's a quick little story for you. I was younger, you know, playing baseball, 16, 17. Yeah, I always hung out with older guys, and we'd play baseball. We'd get done, and the lights, get home around 10:30, 11. I'd shower, go to bed, or at least I think my parents thought I went to bed. And then my buddy would, then I would like sneak out. My parents probably know this already. I would sneak out 11 o'clock, no shit. And I'd walk down the street because I didn't want the guy coming in the front of the house. He'd pick me up. And my Italian buddy, yeah, I don't want to get in. He had a Thunderbird. Anyway, he picks me up in the Thunderbird. We cruise Atlantic City. And no shit, we get there at 12:30. Go to the bars. I mean, that was when the Geeter with the heater was. Those are back in the days. We're talking this late 70s, early 80s. And I get back at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was working. It was summertime. I was working maintenance and grounds during the day. And then my mother waked me up at 5:30. Said, you got to go to work. So I didn't sleep. We would do that. No shit. We would do that like once a week.
Isn't it amazing how much energy we had? Amazing. You get to stay out all night.
Right. When you're 17, 18, right? Even when you're then you hit 20. I don't know. When do you hit the wall? Oof.
Not sure.
But you hit the wall.
It's some point.
All right, here's number three. It's got to be. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. My second favorite. Now, New York City. Got to be. Number three. It gets 34 out of 40. City that never sleeps. Well, it does sleep. People go to sleep around 3 or 4 a.m. there. All for something for everybody, no doubt, any night of the week. Yeah, you got the warehouse parties in Brooklyn, the mega clubs in the Meatpacking District, hipster joints in East Village. We know all about that. And this I kind of liked. He says, the best place to buy a drink for more than you'll spend on some nights out, the Meatpacking District.
Hmm.
That's a great area. And there's another quick story for you. When I first moved to New York in 1994, I lived with my buddy Donnie. Give a shout out to him. On 14th Street between 8th and 9th Avenues. Now, this is like the heart. Well, not really the heart of the Meatpacking, kind of where it starts, goes south from there. And no kidding, no bullshit, Jen. You couldn't get out of the subway on the corner, the E on 8th Avenue. You had to look all around the place. It was dark at night. You'd be looking around. There was a lot of commotion on that block. There was transvestites. I mean, it's all sorts of shit going on 9th Avenue. It was pretty gritty. There was the High Line wasn't developed yet. Now, night and day. It's like, forget, it's totally, it's awesome. The Meatpacking is awesome.
Cool.
So, hey, go check it out. Let's go to number two, and we're going to get talking to Jen here, is Berlin. Been to Berlin, too. Didn't do a lot of partying there. I went there to speak when I had an internet company, you know, back in the 90s, I think, maybe 2000. Berlin, it says, if a city's mental health was determined by how many hours of the week its clubs weren't active, Berlin would be a lunatic in a straitjacket repeatedly slamming his head against a padded wall. Hey, that's the best one. He said, at 9 a.m., there's still lines to get in. He said, go to Bergam or Watergate at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.? Wow.
That's wild.
That is wild.
Here we go. Number one. Man, this one, I would have guessed this.
You what?
Any clue?
Hmm.
What's like some of the biggest?
Did we say Miami? Did you say Miami already?
Miami got honorable mention.
Oh, that's right. No, I don't know.
So if it's not Miami, this is like a flip side of Miami. Never been here, but Ibiza, Spain. Ibiza just, it's known for, I don't know, you don't know that?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to go to the music conference in Miami. You guys know that. Maybe they changed it now. I think they changed the name, but it was when, yeah, I give a shout out to my buddies in Miami. Now, this is going back, I think, 12, 15 years or so. No, maybe more. I'm not sure. But anyway, when the music conference first started with Nikki Beach, and you guys know the drill there. So, but Ibiza was kind of hitting it. You know, every party hound must make a pilgrimage to Ibiza at least once. And there's no doubt. I know about that. If you're a party, they have wind tunnels built into a dance floor. I mean, there's some kooky stuff. They do parade floats and foam that drops from the ceiling. It's like a 4th of July over there. I heard about that. Beach parties during the day, hotel bars in the evening. They got the best DJs in the world, which they do. They all go there. They said sleep's not recommended. And clubs in Ibiza town are worth the extra trip. He's like, go to Ibiza town. Again, I've never been to Ibiza, so go there rather than the San Antonio. I mean, that's kind of what this guy's saying. So check it out. That's your number one. That's our top 10. And on that note, Miss Jennifer Gaynor-Yaker is here to talk. You're going to talk nonsense. I mean, you're going to really talk shop here. But before, let me introduce her. She's, and I've known her for, we'll talk about how I got to know you, but you're a certified hypnotherapist. That's really cool. You know, I went through hypnotherapy.
Did you?
Yeah, for 15 months.
For what?
Well, I stopped drinking 3 months after I started.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And hypnotherapy was part of that process for you.
It was part of that process for me.
Excellent.
Yeah, it really did. And I stayed for another year with it because I kind of liked the therapy. I really did. It was awesome.
It's really relaxing, isn't it?
Oh, my God. And I did some inner child work. I read the Bradshaw. I read all the books.
Awesome.
Yeah, I did all that. I mean, I kind of really researched Edgar Cayce. I was reading all about
the subconscious. Isn't
he fascinating? He's unbelievable.
Right?
Hey, anybody want him? This guy put, no shit, he puts a medical journal under his pillow, and you could tell him what's on page 1,257. He knows the page. He was a freak, I think.
I have a few of his books, and he would channel and download all this interesting stuff.
Unbelievable,
right?
That guy. You're mine. And when you read that, you're saying anything's possible. There's no doubt.
And that's true.
It is true.
Anything is possible.
Anything is. You're mostly a relationship and life coach.
Correct.
Right? And now we're talking, I like this, NLP and EFT practitioners certified at the mastery level. Now, NLP is neuro-linguistic programming.
That is correct.
Right? And the emotional freedom technique is EFT. So I looked both of these up, by the way.
Okay.
I looked them up. And one last thing here. Let me just tell you, because this kind of sums it up in one sentence. This is what Jen does. She helps conscious singles You got to be conscious, right? That's meaning have your shit together is what I think.
You know, what I really wanted that to allude to is someone who's open to growth, someone who's willing to do the work.
Open.
Not someone who's, you know, going to blame it on someone else, but they're willing to look inside and consider, you know, their contribution to their creations in their own life.
And I want to talk about that because what does it mean to be willing? But we'll talk about that. That help conscious singles who are tired of dating and easily attract their ideal partner. I like that, ideal partner, because everyone has an ideal partner,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Who will love them for who they are. And yes. That's another thing, for who they are is important. Whether
Absolutely.
You got tattoos or not, and piercings, right?
Exactly. It's someone who loves you as you are, exactly right now.
So there's my little quick intro, but let's kind of boil it down. I mean, you have great energy. And by the way,
thanks.
I met this gal a couple years back.
About five years ago.
Yeah. We were going to do a barter. She was going to do Pilates. I was going to work on your headstand. Remember the inversion?
Oh my gosh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
I remember that.
I thought we just used to sub each other classes. That's right. You were going to help. I think I still want help with that.
Yeah. We were going to sub our classes. We were working teaching at the same gym. But I remember you got, you know, after that, you said, hey, you know, let's. And we never did get together, but, here you are. I mean, I kind of followed your path because your path today, yoga, I mean, it's been a journey for you.
It has been a journey, for sure. Absolutely.
So what you're really doing is taking what you've experienced to be successful, very successful, right? You recently married, very happy.
Yeah, I married in 2013.
2013, last year, and from what I can see on the website, it says here that your first date, you were very nervous.
No, that's not actually. I was only nervous at one part,
okay.
You know, because there was a sensation, you know, we'd gone out to dinner,
okay.
And that went well. So
This was the first date?
It was the first date.
Blind date?
It was not a blind date.
Okay.
It was not a blind date. We had been talking for a few weeks. So,
okay.
And then we had gone for, because the first date went well and because we'd been talking for a few weeks, I agreed to go on a walk on the beach. And at some point we were walking on the beach and we were sitting and then I spontaneously said, hey, let's go on the swings, which I hadn't done in years, but it was just kind of an in the moment kind of fun thing. And so, you know, we're sitting on the swings, and at that moment I could kind of get the sense that this guy like was the real deal, like he really liked me, and I could kind of tell he was a solid guy. So it made me a little nervous because I was like, whoa, you know, if I go along with this, I might end up married.
Oh, shit. Where's this going to go? Right.
I feel like this isn't
It's too funny how when you sort of feel it, you're like, whoa, you start pulling away.
Right. Well, I wasn't pulling away, but I started rambling a little bit, and I think, you know, my husband, he kind of just intuitively, he was really sweet, he just kind of grabbed my hand and he said, hey, you know what, we're gonna be a team. And it was just really nice. It was really nice.
I love that, the team. Yeah, use the word team, and I love it because the team, that's what I mean. I'm not in a serious relationship or married, but it becomes a team, right?
We really are. You know, it's been, you know, I've never been married before. This is my first marriage. And I was a really independent girl from birth. You know, I've always wanted to kind of do things my own way. And it's really nice. You know, we just have this kind of nice energy together. And we really are a team in every sense of the word. And in fact, we own our life coaching business together, too. So we're also business partners.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, he's on the site. I mean, cool site, by the way. Her site
Thanks.
Is called ConsciousDatingAndRelating.com. Cool name.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a cool site. Check it out. But let's talk about that because typically now, because you're a husband and wife team, does he sort of deal with the men and you deal with the women, or is it work? How's it work?
No, it really boils down to the clients. Meaning I always ask people, like, if we do a workshop together, and a lot of times people will want to, you know, come do a Discover Your Clear Path to Love session. It's a complimentary session we do with people. And I'll usually ask them, hey, did you feel more connected to one of us or the other? And, you know, I understand, you know, that everybody, you know, picking a life coach is a lot about gelling with the energy of that person. And so some, you know, I just ask people, hey, did you feel connected to one or the other of us? And sometimes they say, yeah, I really want to do a session with Rich. And, you know, other times they'll say, oh, no, I want to do the session with you.
Not me. No. Her husband's name is Rich, not me.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. My Rich, my husband right. Rich.
There you go. Ooh, don't want to do a session with me because I'll really throw the shit against the wall. I know how to cut to the chase. Let me tell you, all the women I've dated, forget about.
Well, he's from
about.
New York, too, so he's pretty
Yeah,
direct.
He's not dated the number of women I have. No way.
No, probably
I'm
not.
Like, if I was a rock star, I'd be up there with, I don't know, the guys from Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wasn't a rock star, but, you know, when you're in New York playing. But no, so I like that. So if they gel with you, there's you have to gel. And they feel comfortable with you. And
we're a team. You know, he said, when he told me at that moment, he said, we're going to be a team. He said, we're going to be a team. We're not going to be in competition with each other. And I love that because, you know, I grew up with a brother. We had probably the worst case of sibling rivalry ever because my parents actually used to pitch us against each other, throwing my parents under the bus a little here. But they used to say, like, okay, whoever cleans their room the fastest will get a piece of gum. And then it was always like, well, Jeff's getting these grades, you know, kind of thing. So I grew up being very competitive. And these are some of the things that through my transformational process about learning how to be in a healthy relationship, I had to unlearn. Because it's really not healthy to be in competition with your partner. It's much healthier to work as a team together.
No. Maybe there was only one stick of gum, though, Jen. No.
There was only one stick of gum.
So it's like, hey, you know, survival of the fittest.
But that's sort of scarcity thinking, isn't it? I mean, that's sort of thinking there's only one piece of gum in the world.
Yeah, no,
there's millions of pieces of gums in the world.
That's what these life coaches do, by the way. I'm going to throw this out. You all think in terms of, I showed a guy a piece of paper. Steve Martin has this thing out there. If anybody read it, it says, be so good they can't ignore you. So I showed it recently to this life coach friend of mine I met recently. And he's like, oh, no. You can't use the word can't. Oh, that's a negative word. I'm like, I'm like, yo, dude, this is Steve Martin over here. It was one of the great. Oh, no, you got to change that word. Change it around. I'm like, okay.
Well, I get why he was saying that. I do. Just he probably had some training in how the subconscious mind functions. And your subconscious mind doesn't know how to delete negative. So if you say, I don't want to be stressed, all your subconscious mind will hear is stressed. So it would be better to choose a positive phrasing saying, meaning I want to feel calm. I want to feel relaxed.
Wait, let's talk about that.
That's
an interesting concept.
Okay.
Your subconscious mind deletes the negative. What
it
about
does.
The positive? You use the word love. It accepts that?
Yeah.
It does,
yeah.
But it doesn't accept the negative. Why?
It just, I don't know why.
Yeah,
I
go
just
get Edgar Casey out of the grave and ask him.
The subconscious, that's what our minds do. We delete, distort, or generalize. Whenever we take in information, your mind will automatically delete some, it'll distort some, and it'll generalize some. So it's probably because it's generalizing. It's going to, oh, okay, stress. It's not hearing all the little specifics. You know, your mind can only take in 5 to 9 pieces of information at any one given time. So like if you're looking at a painting, you know, you'll only be able to see 5 to 9 pieces, aspects of that painting at one time.
You just ruined it, Jen. Now I can't be doing the top 10 on Tuesdays. I got to go 9. Top 9. Can't do the top 10.
Well, no, if you do them one at a time.
I see.
Then you're
okay. You give them morsels.
But
you know what I like what you said is distort. Because, hey, I did this too. The podcast, you guys want to go check that out. Don't be delusional, because there's a lot of people out there, and that's what they're doing. There's distorting information, and they get delusional.
It's really widespread.
It is widespread.
You know, it's so common. It's so prevalent.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, hey, you want to go check that one out, you got to be, don't be delusional, because people can be delusional. And then what they do is, here's another thing I know about. You probably talk about blueprints.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. We got some blueprints in us, and a lot of our blueprints comes from our parents. And I'll tell you what, I say this in my memoir, you know, when you're raised, I mean, my parents are, you know, in their 70s, they look amazing, but they grew up in a different world. The world wasn't, first of all, opportunities weren't the same. You know, they didn't come through the same world. From very humble beginnings. And a lot of times the mind's like, my mother would say, you can't fight City Hall. I'm like, why not? I was the guy who was always, what's that mean? Why not? Well, no, you just can't. Well, you can. But the thing is that a lot of generations before us, and you're a lot younger than me. Look like you're 30. I'm not going to go.
Oh, bless you. Well, I'm however old you want me to be.
Good. Well, she's a lot younger than me. Well, I think I'm 30, and that's why I keep dating the wrong women that are younger than me. Well, we'll talk about that. But no, but it happens. And I think you get caught on a pre-established standard. And guess what? Your parents' standard, throw it out the window. That's all bullshit. You got to get rid of that, right? You got to create your own. And that's why this idea of being conscious is really being open to not believing on what people told you, like you're not good at this or whatever. You can't find the right guy. You can't marry a rich guy because you're poor. Hey.
That's exactly right. You are so dead on right now. It's
Man,
all
I should
about
be a life
beliefs.
Coach, huh?
Maybe.
Well, that's what this show's about, right? We're trying to get your shit together here. But no, this is good stuff, right? So dig a little deeper. What do you see when most people come to you? Because they're coming to you for a need. They have a need. They're acknowledging it. It's like someone who, I'm not going to make the direct correlation, but if someone has an alcohol problem. I mean, I tried hypnotherapy. It's kind of interesting. You know, I had been here for 6 months, And when I left New York, I had cut my drinking probably by 50%, but I didn't totally get rid of it. And then it was like, yeah. And that's when I met someone who said, you know, I tried hypnotherapy to stop smoking cigarettes, and you should just try it. I'm like, eh. And she gave me like a free pass. So I got the 2-hour session for free. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know about acceptable behaviors and drilling down and unlocking the negative connections. But there's a lot there. So when people come to you, when they first come to you, you kind of feel their pain. Is there pain?
Yeah, usually there is. Usually the biggest, you know, the most common thing. I mean, people come to me for lots of different reasons. But since I advertise, put myself out there as a relationship coach, the number one reason people come to me is because they haven't been able to find the right person and they don't know why, which I can absolutely relate to because I was that person.
You
and
were that person.
I absolutely was that person. And yeah.
So when they... is everybody doesn't have the same reason. No way, right? Why they're not finding the right person. You say ideal.
Well,
why aren't they? What's blocking them?
Well, it goes back to what you were saying a minute ago. If we were to generalize, I mean, everybody's specific and so unique, but if we were going to generalize at why people don't find the right partner, it's because of their programming. And the thing about programming that people need to realize is that 90% of the beliefs and thoughts that you're having that are driving your behavior and contributing to the result that you create, right? So like for you, you were, you know, driven to drink, right? That's a belief and thoughts that are contributing to that, which contributed to the result. That's all subconsciously driven. So 90% of our beliefs and thoughts that drive our behavior are hidden in this subconscious mind.
How do I dump my subconscious? No,
no, that's a good question.
Yeah.
How do you
overcome your subconscious?
There are ways. The first thing you need to do is you need to be able to have a conversation with the subconscious mind. So that's where things like EFT, something called the Source Technique that my mentor created, and hypnotherapy come into play, because you need to be able to find out what those beliefs are. So in order, right. And that's where being conscious comes in. If we're going to change those beliefs that are shaping the reality that we see in front of us, we need to be able to first know what they are. So that is the first step, is coming into awareness.
Awareness. Big word. Huge word. That's no doubt. That's where, well, going back 8-9 years ago, yoga kind of opened the door a little bit for me.
And yoga's great.
It really is. It's great for that. And that's why I say to all guys out there, hey, guys, if you're the guy that says, I can't do it, I'm not flexible, whatever, but you're insecure, I was insecure. Just go and take a damn class with a hot teacher. That's what I did, and I kept going.
You know what? My analogy for people saying I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible, it's like saying you shouldn't drink water because you're thirsty. It's like, that's
right,
the remedy.
Right, exactly.
Yoga will help make you more flexible.
I like
flexible.
That. Exactly. Well, that's where it could start anywhere. It could start through meeting you. I mean, that's where, like, I think anybody out there who's struggling, you know how many people are struggling? I know so many men, straight men, gay men, straight women, gay women. That a friend of mine just recently, a gay gal, she's like a serial dater. She had a relationship lasted 4 years. She's like 33, 34, lasted. So in the past year, she's like, well, I'm not doing that again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to date as many people. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Now you're going the other way.
Yeah.
She's like swinging from one end of the spectrum. And I'm like, listen, you got to, I don't know. I said, first, I think you got to become aware of why it is you're doing what you're doing. You're exploding. Why
Absolutely.
Are these relationships exploding, right? So first, you probably want to tune in. You really got to get to know the person and
That's
see
right.
what you're, you know, what you're attached to from the past, right? Become aware of what's going on
That's
in
right.
the present.
That's absolutely right.
And then you're projecting out. Let's kind of find, because let's face it, many people have successful marriages. I mean, the numbers aren't really good, I will say, you know, about 50% of people, but it doesn't mean people don't work. It doesn't work.
They could be better.
Could be better.
They could be better.
Okay, let me ask you a question this. I mean, does this happen to you when somebody comes to you and says, you know, I love a woman, let's say, I'm using this example, because I just say take out the machete. That's my solution.
Right.
Or she comes to you and says, oh, I love this guy, this, that, and the other, everything's great, but you know, he cheated on me, but we're working it out and whatever. Do you get that?
Yeah, sometimes I have people that are already in relationships and they're not sure. And, you know, a lot of that goes back to, you know, loving yourself and being really honest with yourself about what you really want and having the courage to say, hey, you know what, I really want this. And so what I like to help people do is just to focus on what they really want. you know, not what their current reality is, but what is it that they really want, and then help them create a vision for that. And the universe, you know, I find that when you have a really clear vision, the universe has a way of bringing those things to you. But you got to start. You got to sit down, and you got to really get clear on what your vision is.
You
got
to do the work.
That's right.
You got to do the work. So let me ask you this, okay? Just not to throw me under the bus here, but so I was a guy that I always dated younger women. Yeah, without, there's no doubt, the numerous younger women. I don't know how young, but in the 20s, that's kind of my range. But what about a guy who kind of didn't have a lot of success dating, but in their mind they say, no, I'm almost ready, I'm not exactly ready. Like with me, you know, I'm open to it. I'm open to meeting the right person. But, hey, this show's like a month old, so I'm still, yeah, everything's evolving. But I am the most emotionally available I've ever been in my life.
That's
but
great.
I'm not really attracting. I'm still attracting. I won't even tell you. The last 2-3 women that come through my sphere, you know, married. Well, first of all, I go on a date. They don't tell you they're living with their boyfriend until we're an hour in. You know how many times that happens to me? Ladies, if you're living with a guy, you got a guy who's a boyfriend, and then you go out with another guy, come on, and they don't tell the guy until 1 hour into that, so you got to get your shit together because it's about you, right? And it shouldn't be about you.
Right.
Why are these women doing that? That's common.
Right. And then I would say to somebody who is in your situation is, you know, you might want to, may I?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Gloves are coming off.
Well, you might want to, you know, if I were to work with you, let's say, hypothetically, that, you know, you might want to spend some time exploring. You know, usually if you keep attracting a certain thing over and over again, we call that a pattern. And you would want to find out, like, what part of
you... I already know.
You know. Well, what is it?
Because I want to take care of them. That's kind of my thing. I think I have this thing where, you know, I want to be able to take care of them and nurture them. And
well, that's why you get younger women, right?
Yeah, the younger women.
But what about the fact that they have boyfriends, right?
Well, I don't know. That's something that's interesting. I mean, I get hit on by married women all the time. There's a 40-something-year-old gal recently. It was like, you know, kind of, I'm like, wait a minute. And I even said to her, I said, don't you have a child? I thought I saw you on, like, Facebook or something. She's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm married. I've been married for 18 years, but I don't sleep with my husband. You know, I'm like, whoa. I said, that's not. I said, hey, honey, you're pretty hot. I said, if you weren't married, I'd probably sleep with you. But no, she goes, oh, well, no, you would be different. I'm like, yeah, I get that. Goodbye. And then, you know, they get mad at you because you reject them. But it's like funny. Some of these women. And then she came up to me later and said, hey, you know, I have a younger, I kind of wanted to throw it in my face. I have a younger boyfriend anyway. I'm like, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, good for you.
Good for you. Good luck. No, I'm definitely closing those doors where in the past I was the guy who married women loved me. You got to read that in the memoir. I mean, that was the perfect guy.
We'll use you as a poster child.
Yeah, I'm the poster child. But don't do it. Now I don't do it. And I mean, even these hot women, they, you know, here in LA, sometimes they just want to sleep with you. No, it's, I was like, yeah, I live with a guy, but like they don't like the guy. I'm like, well, that's not my problem. Honey, go figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I know we talked about this on the phone a little bit. And, you know, like I said on the phone, you know, it all goes back to what is it that you want? You know, it's like all these things can be happening in your life that you don't want. You just have to let all that stuff go. You just get clear on what you want and you go for it. And that's it.
And that's what you do. You really help people become conscious, become aware, knowing what they want. And then once you clear all that out, how do you hone in on finding that?
Good question. I like to help people practice something called the as if. And it's something that, you know, it's probably started, well, it's probably, you know, ages old, but the best example that most people would probably relate to is athletes. You know, like athletes, let's say, you know, it's the Super Bowl or something. You know, those athletes have that win and have probably visualized that win.
Mm.
You know,
for
thousands
sure.
of times, you know, they go to bed every night and they're visualizing winning that game. And manifesting anything, it's all the same. You know,
it's all the same.
If you, you know, again, it goes back to having that clear vision. And then there are things that you can do to help yourself get into this space of feeling like you already have it. And when you can do that, it's on its way.
That's a tricky thing, but that's where I think the value for someone like yourself and you especially comes in, because a lot of people, they have trouble doing that. I mean, I do visualizations and think about the big house in the hills and all that business, but you know, it takes time. It doesn't happen, right? What do you think?
Well, there's an order to things. So I always start with clearing out those hidden blocks, you know, working with that program, because if you don't fix the blueprint, if you still have a faulty master copy, right? You're going to keep printing out the same copy over and over again. You need to fix the blueprint. You need to fix the master copy. And I don't want to say fix, but let's say adjust it to be more in alignment with what it is
tweak
that you
it.
Want.
You got to tweak it.
You got to alter it a little bit.
You got to alter it a little bit.
Tweak it a little bit. And so I always start with that because, you know, it's like if you have a virus in your computer, you know, and you try to run new programs, it's probably still not going to function properly.
I like that analogy.
Right? So if you can clear out the virus so that you have a smooth and clear path, then you can manifest without static. It's not going to be as hard. Right. You're not going to keep coming up against that same pattern.
It's a lot of good stuff here, Jen. And hey, you guys should check her out because we're going to get into the Fast Five. I will say, Jen, I mean, we could go on and on. I definitely want to have you on again. I love talking this stuff. But every day. But yeah, say this website again. People are looking for you.
Sure. It's consciousdatingandrelating.com. And conscious is spelled C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S.
Well, if you need to do that, it's what I spell Boulevard. I spell it out. Go get your shit together.
I
get a dictionary.
I type it wrong all the time. That's why I'm saying that.
So there you go. Jennifer Gaynor Yaker. Go check her out. She's awesome. We're going to do a quick Fast Five, and we're going to wrap it up for today. So, Jen, I ask real quick. You're going to answer A or B. You'll know it's kind of simple. We'll get a flavor.
Oh, wow.
Number one, chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Chocolate.
I knew that one. Number two, tropical island or New York City?
Tropical island.
Ooh, look at you. You know exactly. Some people, they're like,
No, Hawaii for me, baby.
Ooh. Number three, ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ooh. God, they're both so brutal. probably ancient Rome.
That's a negative word. Got to remove that.
Sorry.
Probably. No probably. Get specific.
Probably ancient Rome.
Love it. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Oh, yeah. You know, ever since I've gone through that transformational process, I'm so in touch with my emotions. So probably tearjerker.
I felt that. And lastly, I know what this is going to be. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
Ooh, I'm really an outdoors kind of girl. So I think picnic in the park,
I was going to say candlelight dinner. Rich over there making you some dinner.
I would do it both. He makes me dinner a lot. I really like being outside, so.
Well, there you go, folks. Really cool show today. Jen, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. And, hey, you guys want to check me out more, check out my website, richtola.com. I'm not going to spell that for you because I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola. Right here on LA Talk Radio.